is going to come and bring us a word this morning, and I know that he's been the object of special prayers from a lot of us, just knowing that a great event and the blessings of God that have been on Ryan's life for a long time. One of the greatest blessings is approaching in his life very soon as he prepares for holy matrimony. But I know Ryan's got a word for us to hear, so let's bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Am I on? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for it. Any and various ways that you do so, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, that you are not withdrawn from us, Lord, but you choose to come, even to those of us who, in the midst of our trials and our difficulties and our frustrations, Lord, in those times of struggle, Lord, you come to us, Lord. Many of us are in those type places even now. So, Lord, I just pray today that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts to receive you, Lord. Anything that is said that comes from me, Lord, I pray today that you would remove it far from us, Lord, and that only those things that you want to speak to us, Lord, that those things would be heard. Lord, we want to encounter you this morning, so I pray today that you would just come to us in your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Say that again?
Turn your lapel mic on.
Is it not on?
No, you got off the cord.
Oh. No? Now? Okay. How's that?
Good.
Okay, good. Well, first of all, I want to just thank all of you for just the love that you have shown to Pam. It's been a real blessing. Father Terry and everybody has been giving me a hard time because it's like in this very time, one wouldn't expect to be preaching. You would think that one would be preoccupied with so many other things, especially getting ready for a wedding. But I do want to thank you guys for just being there and just welcoming Pam, welcoming her into the family, because this is a family, isn't it? And she is leaving a church. It's going to be very difficult for her, but I do thank you for the warm reception that you have given to her. She is a wonderful person. I look forward to you guys getting to know her better and more, especially she's got some responsibilities at her church that she still has to, from time to time, take care of. But in just about literally a month, I think she's going to be here permanently. So I do look forward to her getting to know you guys better and for you getting to know her. It's really a blessing. And I think we've gotten through the last marriage session, except for one, Father Carl, I think. But I think Father Terry's about ready to give his go, his okay for this thing to proceed, I think. Well, if you have your Bible, said, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 through 25. Many biblical scholars regard the book of Hebrews as a sermon, that it was first, that in its earliest form, it was actually a sermon delivered. And if you've ever read the book of Hebrews, it's a very powerful book. And I'm going to be reading from verse 11, and I'm going to end at verse 25. And so if you want to turn there, verse 11 says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, then to wait until his enemies should be made a stool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Verse 17, and then he adds, I will remember their sins and their misdeeds no more. And where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way which he has opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, if that was indeed a sermon, it is probably one of the most powerful sermons that anyone has ever delivered. In fact, if it is a sermon, I could really just kind of like stop right there and just say amen to that and kind of sit down, right? Because it has such a powerful message in it. The book of Hebrews, we are told by scholars, some say that it was written between 60 and 70 A.D. Some say that it's between 80 and 100 A.D. But nonetheless, whoever the writer was a great... He had just a mastery of the Greek language. Right, Father Don? You're a Greek guy. You know Greek very well. He was very eloquent, very educated. But he also was very familiar with Old Testament imagery, as you can see is throughout the book of Hebrews. And he had many reasons for writing. But one of the main reasons that he wrote was simply to demonstrate that the Christ of the New Covenant is so superior to the Levitical priesthood that Christ is not just one more high priest. He is the one high priest. That he is the high priest that who is perpetually being worshipped. And he is the high priest who is perpetually the sacrifice, the once and for all sacrifice for sins. It's a powerful message that he conveys to us. Listen to verses 11 through 14 again. And every priest stands daily at God's service, basically. It says his service, but we know that that's God's. Stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And then to wait till his enemies should be a stool for his feet. And I love verse 14. It says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified or are sanctified. That's a beautiful statement, isn't it? And it's beautiful not because it's just so well written, not just because it seems kind of poetic, but it's beautiful because it is the reality of the gospel, isn't it? It's the reality that it is the mystery, it's the paradox, that our salvation is complete. It doesn't mean that we don't have to strive. It doesn't mean that we don't have struggles and issues. It doesn't mean that we've got it all together or that we've figured it out or that we have all arrived. But it does mean that at the cross, everything that we need, everything that has been done, it is all finished, isn't it? That is a great, great message for those of us who have our struggles and have our trials and who have our hang-ups and issues. And Pam is certainly learning what mine are. But he is that he is also a God, though, who identifies with us, isn't it? Isn't that the message, the mystery of this Christianity that is our faith? The mystery is that he comes and he becomes just like us. And that though somehow we fail, God is still in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our struggles and all the things that go on. And sometimes I look at my own life and I'm like, how in the world can God possibly love me? How can he put up with me? And yet in the midst of that, God is still faithful and he's still working on me. He doesn't give up on me. God is working in us. But you know, we realize that the cross is not the end of the story, nor is it the end of our story, is it? I love what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 7, verse 25. He says, consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that wonderful that somehow God is in heaven, he is pleading our cause, he is pleading our case, that even when we fail, even when we slip up, we fall down, we fall sometimes flat on our faces and our lives are shattered and broken, in the midst of that, God is pleading our case. But listen, he is not just pleading our case. He is not just simply the one who offers the sacrifice. He also, the beauty of Christianity, the beauty of our faith, the beauty of the gospel, is that he becomes that sacrifice. He becomes just like one of us. He becomes one of us. He identifies with us. And so he knows what it is. Listen to me. He knows what it is when you face temptation, when you face the struggles that you do. He knows those hang-ups that you have that you simply can't seem to get over. He knows what those things are. That is the power of the incarnation. It is the incarnation that God becomes man. And it is this incarnation that reveals this mystery to us, that I have a God who identifies with me. And it's not just true for me, it is true for you. And it gives me great consolation, doesn't it? Doesn't it, you? I love, again, this is one of the, probably the most, one of the most famous passages in Scripture, but it's found in Hebrews 4. Verses 15 through 16, it says, for we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, our high priest is not just the one who offers, he is the sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away your sins. Now let us find confidence to draw near to the throne of grace, he says, the writer says, that we may find mercy and grace in time of need. In just a few minutes at the Eucharist, the priest who, by the way, if you don't know this, you need to know this, is that the priest he's not the one who is ultimately offering the Eucharist. He's not the one really offering the elements, if you will. He is simply standing in the place of Christ. It is really Christ who is there at the altar offering Not just, and here's the mystery, and here's the great paradox, that he's not just the one, again, who offers up those elements, offers up those that bread and that wine to God, but he is also the one who enters the bread and the wine, and it becomes his very body and his blood. And so just as we are broken and we experience brokenness, so Christ, the high priest, the shepherd, he also experiences brokenness. In fact, he becomes the very essence of what it means to be broken. In just a minute, he will place, and of course the priest will be there, but don't just disregard the priest. It'll actually be Christ. He will place in the very hands of the broken, his body and his blood. And that is a powerful mystery, isn't it? You know, this is a church that is very much about the incarnation. We have been really a church that not just believes in the incarnation doctrinally and theologically, but we put it into practice, don't we? We seek to be a church that understands what it is to be broken. When the people come into this church, they shouldn't feel that somehow they're out of place, you know, that they don't belong. But that somehow that they would feel that they are just like the people who are here. That is the message of the incarnation, isn't it? That's what separates Christianity from perhaps all the other religions, is that God touches and is not ashamed to touch the broken. And I hope and pray that we always remember that, is that there should not be a person who comes into this sanctuary who doesn't experience love and the forgiveness and the grace of God. And so I hope and pray that we are always about what the incarnation is about. But again, it's not as though we somehow are superior to people who come into this facility. In fact, we have to realize that we are just like them. We need to truly be a spiritual hospital for those who come in, because in fact, some of us, we have to realize that all of us, even as Christians, we struggle and we fight. And so some of us may have it more together than others, but nonetheless, we all struggle and we all have difficulties. And so let me end by just saying that, or just repeating verse 22. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold the confession of our hope without wavering." And I love this last part. It says, "For he who is promised is faithful." Amen.